Fireflies Unite with Kia, your weekly podcast from the perspective of individuals thriving with a mental illness. We are normalizing the conversation about mental health within communities of color to foster mental wellness and empowerment. Welcome to another episode of the Fireflies Unite podcast with me, Kia, where our mission is to bring light into darkness just like the fireflies by simply sharing the stories of people of color who live and thrive with mental health conditions and to normalize the mental health conversation. On today's episode, while this person does not live with a mental health condition, they are a survivor of sexual trauma, and she talks about her healing process. So Lakeisha Wooder is an entrepreneur, motivational speaker, international author, and a sexual abuse survivor, empowering women to transform their lives by embracing their difference. On her journey to purpose, she found herself sharing her testimony of surviving sexual abuse to motivate and inspire women to take action, like asking for a raise, overcoming self-doubt, rebuilding relationships, changing careers, and creating a healthy lifestyle, and so much more. As a result, she unmasked the ugly truth behind most problems, inhibiting women from advocating for themselves and owning their power and lack of self-awareness. So to provide a solution to this problem, Lakeisha launched her consulting firm specializing in self-awareness, a Sisters Truth LLC that provides life coaching services to women. Welcome, Lakeisha, to the Fireflies Unite podcast. I am so excited that we are about to talk because this has been in the works for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for joining me. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited about this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, everybody know how great you are because they heard all of that good stuff in the intro. So one of the things that I usually ask people in the, like one of the first questions in the podcast is, when growing up, was mental health something that was talked about?
Oh, no, not at all. To be completely honest with you, I didn't even really know it was a thing. What the terms mental health put together wasn't even like those words wasn't even put together for me as a child. That wasn't until way, you know, into my adult years. And actually me going on my own healing journey is really what taught me about what mental health is and why it's so important. But no, we did not talk about that growing up at all.
Yeah, most people say that when I ask them that question, they're like, no, mental health wasn't talked about. Or if it was talked about, they say it had a negative connotation, like it was never anything good. So I am, like I said, excited to have you on the podcast. We're going to talk about a very sensitive topic, the topic being sexual abuse, which is something that you have endured. So can you talk a little bit about when did the abuse start? And when it started, what was going on at the time?
Sure. Yeah, it is a sensitive topic, sexual abuse. And unfortunately, my story is not a unique story because people have experienced it all over the world and there's children still experiencing it right now to this day. But for me, the sexual abuse started around 8 years old. It started for me. And for me, like I always link the sexual abuse to when my grandmother died, because it was like when my grandmother died, it's like my whole life did this whole 180. It was like a whole shift in my life. And it, for me, it seemed like everything just went downhill from there. And not too long after her death is when the sexual abuse started. And for me, it lasted for about 8 years, because around 16 years old, I had up the nerve courage to say what happened to me to someone outside of my family who, you know, took it upon herself to help me to get help. And I'm one of the lucky few who was able to send their abuser to jail. So my abuser actually, you know, served time in prison for what he did to me.
Yeah, that is a blessing, because
you hear so many times where people don't even, they don't tell anyone. They just go through the abuse and then they become an adult and they have all these wounds from that time. And then their abuser is not even in jail.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, in my case, I did speak up about the sexual abuse. My mom knew about the abuse, and nothing was ever done of it. And other family members that was close also knew about the abuse, and nobody said anything. Nobody came to my rescue. And so I literally, in my mind, I literally had to go into survival mode in order to really mentally get through that time, because it was a really, really hard time. You know, I have the typical, you know, upbringing. I was born in the projects. You know, my mom was a teenage mom. We lived on welfare. She had six kids. So it was six kids in the household. I did not grow up with my biological father. So that relationship was a strain. And then I have sisters and brothers on his side, you know, in his side as well. So in my hood, projects right outside of Chicago. So in my hood, you saw gang violence, you saw drugs, prostitution, you know, drug dealers on every corner, you know. That's what I saw. That's what I grew up seeing. So to add on top of that was the sexual abuse. So not only did I have to fight to survive inside of my house, but I had to fight to survive outside of my house. So I literally, you know, I don't want to use this term so loosely, but it was like I literally grew up in a war zone. That's how it felt to me. You know, and I felt like becoming an attorney was the only way to come up out of that war zone. And not even for me, because initially when I started my journey to become an attorney, it wasn't even for me. I was more so thinking about my sisters and brothers coming up behind me, because we had no example of what success looked like. We just didn't have it. We was in an abusive household. I was being sexually abused. You know, my mom's husband was my abuser. So he sexually abused me. He physically abused my brothers and he beat my mom and he was a drug addict. So we had no example. And I took it upon myself to be the example that my siblings needed so we can know that there was something better. Because living in that situation, I had no idea there was something better. I had no idea. So I literally went on a quest to find out if there was something better. I literally went on that quest. And so, you know, at the beginning of my journey, I hit a wall fast and hard because I needed to heal from the sexual abuse. Because after my mom's husband went to jail for sexually abusing me, I will sit here and say that, you know, that's when I studied real hard in school and all that. No, not at all. Not at all. Like, I was totally on the wrong path, but God put the right people in my life at the right time who put me on a different path. And I just, you know, thank God all the time that I had enough courage to explore the thing that was different, if that makes sense. Because it's hard. It's hard to do something different and be something different than everybody, anybody that's around you. It's hard to do that. It's not an easy task. But I used my brothers and my sister as motivation. And because I was using them as motivation, I ran to a brick wall hard and fast because I really needed to heal from the sexual abuse. And not just that trauma, I needed to heal from all of the trauma that came with, you know, being raised in that type of environment.
Yeah. You said a lot. And one of the things that stood out to me was you mentioned that you told people, and what was it? Was it that they didn't believe you, or was it that they didn't know where to go to get help? And then also, how did that make you feel when you disclosed that information to them and nothing was done?
You know what? I think that it was, you know what? I don't know. If I just had to guess the answer, I would say that they just didn't believe me. Because don't get it twisted. You know, my mother's husband was very charismatic. People liked him. People on the outside of the house, they liked him because they didn't know what was going on inside of the house. So I think with his, you know, charisma, I just think that people just didn't believe me. And to be completely honest, like, how do you take that in when a child comes to you and say that this is what's going on with me. I think it was just a shocker, you know, and they didn't want to believe it. So they just didn't do anything. And, you know, honestly, it hurt. It hurt, you know, because these are people in my life who were there. They were my family and they were supposed to protect me and they didn't. I was confused because I could not understand why this man was doing what he was doing to me. At the same time, he's telling me that, you know, I'm your father. I'm here. I'm going to do X, Y, and Z. Okay. To protect me and to provide. Okay. But you're doing something totally opposite. Like your actions are not meeting up with the words that are coming out of your mouth. And that was confusing, especially as a child, you know? And as I got older, I'm going to be completely honest with you. As I got older, I gave up. I gave up initiating and telling other people what was going on. Now, if you came to me and you asked me, I told you. But as far as volunteering the information, I just stopped doing it. Because how many times am I going to tell people and they do nothing? You know? They gave me all these encouraging words when I tell them, oh, I can't believe you're going through this. He shouldn't be doing this and blah, blah, blah. But then you go off into the sunset. And I'm just left there continuing to have to deal with this, you know, with this abuse. So at some point I just gave up, you know, because there were repercussions after I told, not immediately, but, you know, a few days down the line or a week down the line, there was repercussions. You know, I either got on punishment, something was taken away from me. Like he was very, very strict. He was very, very strict, you know, and all I can say is, but God, that I even had the mental capacity, the strength to even get through that and still be able to do something, anything after I was out of that situation.
Yeah. And did you find unhealthy ways to cope with the trauma?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I smoked weed, you know, growing up. I started drinking alcohol. You know, I got involved with some knuckleheads, you know, growing up. I have a episode coming up on my podcast for my birthday. And it's a episode where I gathered, you know, my three closest friends. And we had a conversation about my transition from where they met me to where I am now. And one of my friends talked about in that podcast about how I was so passive aggressive with the guy that I was dating and how I just did whatever he said to do. He was like, you're not like that now, but that's how you were, you know, back then. And I realized in that moment that that was just because of, that's what I saw. I saw my mom be passive aggressive. I saw my mom, you know, just do whatever and allow whatever this man said and did to happen. And I was literally, you know, displaying those same habits and didn't even know it at the time. Didn't even know it.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense because a lot of times mm-hmm. when we grow up, we can set the goal and say to ourselves, like, I'm not going to be like this person. Mm-hmm. But when you see something and that's all you know, and unless someone's there to help you correct that behavior, to help mm-hmm. you identify what those things are, then a lot of times mm-hmm. we do end up being like our parents. And sometimes mm-hmm. we don't. There may be some things that we take and other things that we kind of drop off or that falls by the wayside. But that does end up happening. And what would you say, I guess, when and why you decided to work toward healing?
You know, I don't even really know if it was so much of my decision to initiate. You know, when I started college, I attended Clark Atlanta University in Atlanta, Georgia. And my first semester there, you know, they have a school paper and I looked in the paper and there was an ad in the paper to do volunteer work at this nonprofit called Youthful Survivors. And so I applied, you know, because I had something to talk about, the sexual abuse. And I applied and I was able to become a speaker and speak about my experience. And on my very first speaking engagement, I talked for about 30 minutes. I was supposed to only talk for probably like 10, 15 minutes tops. And the, you know, president of, or the executor of that nonprofit, you know, she told me, she was just like, I can tell that you needed to get that out. And she was like, and you need to go to therapy and I'm going to pay for it. If you're willing to go, I'll pay for it. And I was just like, okay. Cause I really didn't know what therapy was, you know, and what that really actually entailed. I knew that she wanted me to go to therapy in order to help me to heal from the abuse. But because she offered, you know, and she was willing to pay for it, I just said, okay, kind of nonchalantly, I'll go. And it wasn't until my very first therapy session with a man, because she felt as though that I should have therapy with a man to kind of rebuild my relationship and trust in men. And that's probably one of the best decisions that she could have made. I mean, I never would have made that decision, you know, but I think that was a good decision, a good move. And so it wasn't until my very first therapy session that I was talking to him, telling him what was going on and what happened, rather. And he was like, Lakeisha, you do know that the sexual abuse wasn't your fault, right? And it was like, what? It wasn't, you know, because I think deep down inside, I felt that way because nobody said anything different to me before, you know. And he told me, people failed you. People failed you. Your mom failed you. And him saying those words just really caused me to drop my guard. You know, it really caused that wall that I had built up to kind of crumble. And so from that day forward, I was like, okay, maybe this is somebody I can talk to, you know, maybe I should take this seriously.
Wow. Thank God for this amazing lady who decided mm-hmm. to pay for therapy, because that really started you on your healing journey. Mm-hmm. For anybody who is listening, who knows that someone is going through a tough time and they have the means to fund therapy for someone, I will always encourage that. I mean, now there are a lot of free and low cost resources, but mm-hmm. if someone can pay for someone to go to therapy, that is a major blessing. So thank God for that lady, because that really opened you up to not only start your healing, but to develop healthy coping skills. To, like you said, you started to realize like, okay, this is not my fault, because you was carrying that weight thinking that it was mm-hmm. your fault.
Mm-hmm. And thinking that I didn't do enough to get myself up out of the situation. Because it's like, Keisha, what were you going to do? You was 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. What were you going to do? what were you going to do? You know? And I carried that burden for so long that therapy helped me to realize that it wasn't my burden to carry. But, you know, I could also, you know, take that experience and turn it into good by helping other people. So, yeah, she was definitely an angel, you know, put here on earth. I would say just for me, because she helped out all of us that was in the program. But, yeah, she was definitely godsend for sure.
Yeah. And what words of encouragement would you give to another woman who feels defeated because of this sexual abuse?
Man, that's a really good question. I would just tell her that it's not your fault. So let me tell you that. It wasn't your fault, right? Because it took, you know, almost, you know, what, 10 years for me to hear that. And I don't want it to be that long for you. The abuse wasn't your fault. It's not the end of your story. It's a part of your story, but it's not the ending of your story. And I am a witness to that. because I have grown so much since then. I have fallen in love with myself. So you get that healing that you need because relationships will get better. You will fall in love with yourself. You know, you will do more. You know, it is possible for you to marry a man that actually loves you, that you don't have to worry about them creeping into your son or your daughter's room at night. Like, you can have those things. You can't have those things. What happened to you, it does not define you at all. If anything, it's just going to make you stronger. It's going to make you more alert. And it's going to help you to deal with other traumas. I know that may sound a little crazy, but it's going to help you to be able to deal with other traumas that's going to come your way. Because life happens. There's always going to be something coming at you. And over the years, I had to really learn how to just tap into the strength that I needed to get through that time in order to use the strength to get through what it is that I'm going through in my current season. You are built for this. You are built to succeed. You are built to operate in your purpose. And just know that. Just know that. Just know that you're not broken. You know, you're not tainted. You know, you still matter. You are enough. And that the world needs you. We need you. We need you to operate in your purpose, and we need you to deliver your gifts to the world so we can receive our blessings.
Those are amazing words of encouragement. I felt that. I'm over here trying not to tear up, but one of the things that you talked about, walking in your purpose, kind of ties into the next question of you launching your podcast, Living Her Truth podcast. So can you talk about why you launched the podcast and what the response has been to this amazing podcast?
Yes. Thanks for asking. So my podcast is called the Living Her Truth podcast. And what I do is I sit down and have some really, you know, candid, honest, and transparent conversations with amazing guests. And you were one of my guests. Just have some, you know, amazing conversation with guests about how self-awareness has helped them to live a more purpose-driven life. You know, in my business, in my coaching business, I'm real transparent about my story because I truly believe that there, you know, is power in our testimonies, and other people need to hear how I went through that and what I did to come, you know, on top and be able to become the woman I am today and operate in my purpose. So I don't have a problem with talking about it, you know, because I think it's a powerful thing to do. But also, just don't just say, oh, I went through, you know, sexual abuse and now I'm here, but I'm really transparent as much as I can be without, you know, other family members, you know, without invading their privacy. I'm really transparent about talking about the in-between moments that helped me to get to where I am today. And because I'm so transparent about my story, I do also recognize that not everybody has been sexually abused. There are other traumas that people have experienced. So this is my opportunity. The podcast is my opportunity to bring other people on so they can share their stories. So somebody can hear a variety, you know, in order to help them out. Because when we're at rock bottom, we tend to think, for whatever reason, that we're the only ones going through whatever it is we're going through. Nobody understands what it is that we're going through, and no one can help. And that is so far from the truth, because there's nothing new up under the sun. So whatever it is that you have gone through, somebody else has too, and you can overcome it. But how would you know that if nobody is sharing their story? And there are so many people out there who want to share their story. So my podcast is a platform where we can come on and just do just that, and just, you know, talk about how to overcome, you know, and how to use self-awareness just to live purposefully in every area of our life.
Amazing. Just because I think what happens is when we start to live in our truth, we begin to become free, and other people are also liberated because of our freedom. So there's truth, there's power in telling your story. And I don't think people realize that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is so freeing, because once you just let it out, you're not only just letting that out, but you let out the shame. You're letting out the embarrassment. Like, you are literally releasing those things from you that's literally keeping you, you know, in bondage. And you're right. You know, it also is liberating for other people. Because I still, right now to this day, you know, have women come up to me after I have spoken on stage and tell me, thank you so much for sharing your story. And my story is just like a quarter of my whole speech. And they come up to me afterwards in tears, sometimes in tears, just saying, thank you so much for sharing your story, you know, because I needed to hear that. Because there's so many of us adults, men and women, who has experienced this and we haven't even dealt with it. And we think we're okay, but we're not. We're not. It's affecting you. If you haven't, you know, healed from that unresolved trauma, please know and understand that it's coming up some way, some form, some fashion in your life. It's definitely coming up, and it's infecting the decisions that you're making.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You couldn't have said it better. When we don't take the time to heal from our trauma, it spills over into our relationships. I had a friend who we're no longer friends, but the friend wasn't doing their own healing work, and they was projecting a lot of stuff onto me, and that friendship could no longer work. And I don't even think the person realized that they were projecting their unresolved trauma and their issues onto me. So yeah, it does. And we don't realize it.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, and kudos to you for recognizing and seeing the signs and, you know, letting that relationship go. Because I think most times we hold on to relationships way longer than we should. Way longer than we should. And it's because of, it could be because of several different reasons. But, you know, most times we just don't want to be alone. We want to be accepted. We want to feel loved. And if this person is showing us an ounce of love, then we tend to hold on to that relationship longer than what we should have, instead of just loving ourselves first, right? And knowing that we can have relationships with anybody. You can go out there and build a whole brand new support team, and that's what you need to do. You can go out and create a whole new family. That's what you need to do. Let that person, that toxic person, go. And it's funny that you said that the person didn't know that they were projecting, you know, because I'm still in therapy now, you know, not for the sexual abuse, but for, you know, just other things that's going on in my life. Like I think having a therapist, you know, on speed dial is the thing to have these days. I'm a huge advocate of therapy. And during one of my therapy sessions, my therapist had to say to me, don't project your experience onto somebody else. Your experience is your experience. If she has a different experience, then that's her experience. Don't project. Because I didn't realize that I was projecting, if that makes sense. So yeah, sometimes it takes somebody on the outside to show us and open our eyes to what it is that we're doing. But we have to be accepting of the feedback.
Absolutely. So what's next for you?
Oh my goodness. So I have a planning session workshop coming up where I'm going to invite anybody who's willing to come. It's for free to come together. And we're going to plan out the last 3 months of 2020. I don't know about you, but I hear people say all the time that they just want to throw away the year because of everything that we have gone through. And I get it. And I understand why, because I've had my fair share this year. But I truly believe that there's still so much that we can do. And we still have plenty of time to end our year with purpose. And so I'm going to be doing a planning session workshop in a few weeks, so we can just plan out the last few months of the year.
That's good stuff, because yeah, there are so many things that I intend to do before this year ends. Like, I'm not throwing away 2020. I still have work that I'm working to accomplish. It's like, just because, you know, COVID has completely rearranged our lives, that just means we have to find a different way to do the things that we initially set out to do.
That's it. We just need to pivot and not pause. That's it. Pivot, not pause.
So for anyone who is interested in learning about the planning session or your podcast or want to connect with you, can you share your social media handles, website, all that good stuff?
Yes, absolutely. So you can find me on Instagram, Facebook at Lakeisha Woodard, Twitter too at Lakeisha Woodard. You can find me on YouTube at A Sister's Truth. You can also find the video version of my podcast on Facebook at Living Her Truth. But all my social media handles and everything, you can find all that information on my website at LakeishaWoodard.com. LakeishaWoodard.com.
And I'll be sure to leave those links in the show notes so that people can refer back to it. But yay, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the podcast, to share your story. I'm pretty sure that someone will begin to start their healing journey and become liberated just because you shared your story. So thank you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to actually share. I appreciate you.
So what did you all think of the episode? Be sure to hit up Lakeisha and let her know what you thought of her episode. And also, I want to remind you, if you like the episodes, please be sure to rate the podcast on Apple Podcasts as well as subscribe to the podcast so you can know when new episodes are out. Thank you so much for listening. You all have a blessed week, and I will talk to you next week.
I hope that you obtain tools and resources from the Fireflies Unite podcast to help you manage your mental health. But please do not use it as a substitute for a relationship with a licensed therapist or psychiatrist. Let's continue the conversation by following me on Fireflies Pod on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.